That was my bad. I turned it off when I was playing with the wires. Please have a seat. Good way to start the new year in silence. Welcome as we gather here on this first Sunday of 2019. It seems like it's been a year since we've been together. And so it's good for us to be together again as we gather in worship, as we gather in community. For those who might be visiting with us this morning, my name is Reverend Michael Mugford, and I'm in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside, and pleased to be able to do that and to be here in this wonderful community. Please do let us know you've been here. We have a guest book just outside the entrance to the congregate to the sanctuary here, and just sign it. Let us know you've been here. Join us for a time of coffee and fellowship in the hall following the service. As well, during the offering time, if you would like to leave an offering, and we certainly don't require our guests to do that, if that's something you feel led to do, there are guest envelopes in the pews. If you use that and fill that out, we'd love to send you a letter saying thanks for being with us on this Sunday morning. So as we gather, let us welcome one another with the peace of Christ as we gather on this first Sunday of the year. I invite us to stand and turn to your neighbor, extend a hand, and offer the peace of Christ. Peace of Christ. Peace of Christ, Adam. Peace of Christ. Peace of Christ, Joe. Peace of Christ. Peace of Christ to you. Peace of Christ, Jess. One. Peace of Christ, Catherine. For some of us, this is the first opportunity for us to have been together since just before Christmas. It's wonderful to be able to do that. As part of our journey as the United Church of Canada, as we seek to live more deeply into right relations with our Indigenous brothers and sisters, we pause at the beginning of our worship to acknowledge the place on which we gather. It's responsive in nature. We gather in this place with gratitude, acknowledging that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. And we light candles this morning. The first candle reminds us of Christ and Christ's light in our lives and in the world. It is Christ in whose name we gather this day and always. We light a candle of peace, for we know that Christ calls us to be peacemakers and peace bringers, and there are many places in our world where we are called to work and to live towards a greater sense of peace for all humankind. And this morning we also light, as is our custom, a candle that reminds us of those who serve in many capacities in our world, in our armed forces, in many places around the world where they seek to bring hope and peace and comfort to so many people. They go to places where we cannot and would not go and seek to live to bring life to those whom they encounter. We also remember those who are there for us when we are in our times of greatest need. First responders and healthcare professionals, those who are there for us in emergency rooms and hospitals, in our nursing homes, looking after those of us in our hours of most deep need. We remember peace officers and firefighters and EMTs and give thanks to God for them and for their ministry. Our opening song, new this time of year, is number 9 in More Voices, O Come, Let Us Sing. We're going to sing that through 2 times. Excuse me.
Thank you. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks for the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
Let us pray together. O Holy One, the Magi came from many places to see the infant Jesus. We too have come from many places to worship together and see the holy in one another. Guided by a great light, the Magi traveled to Bethlehem.
And in the same spirit,
we too travel to Bethlehem. Like the Magi, we bring gifts to offer the child, ourselves, our hopes, our dreams, the visions we have for our community of faith. As we return home, moved by what we have encountered and seen, we discern how we will live anew as your light permeates our lives. Guiding God, we follow your light on our paths, so that we will not walk in darkness, but walk with you, the light of the world. As we live each day, we seek to be caring and comforting as we risk sharing our unique vision in the world. May it be so.
Amen.
And our opening hymn this morning is number 35 in Voices United. It's on the screen, and it'll be in the Voices United hymn book in your pews. Chairs. Haley's going to share our scriptures this morning.
The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them that the exact same time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and have been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. They returned to their country by another route.
Well, who else would like to come up and join us here at the front? How are you this morning? What have you got there? You've got a cow? Who else is coming up? So here we are. We might need to put things back together. Well, you know what? It's kind of interesting. The story we're looking at this morning from the Bible that Haley read about the visit of the three wise men. We don't really know if Mary and Joseph and Jesus were in the stable at that particular point in time. So we're not really sure if there were cows and sheep and shepherds and, you know, that sort of thing. Another sheep. Matthew says that they found Mary and Joseph in a house, but a lot of our Christmas traditions, and then a big sheep, yeah. We'll put them there with the shepherd. Good. A lot of our Christmas traditions have the creche scene with Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and shepherds and then wise ones and all that sort of thing, all kind of crammed in together. But there we go. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the wise ones. Now, who has the three wise people there? We've got one here. There's one. There's another one. Is that a wise person? What's that? A cow. There we go. There's the other wise person right there. So now we have lots of different traditions about these three wise guys, three wise people. Sometimes we call them kings. Sometimes we call them magi. But we're not really sure if there were only three. There might have been more. Matthew's gospel says they carried different gifts. And your cow said moo. So maybe gold was one of the gifts. And maybe this one has frankincense. That's sort of a spice used for incense. And then this one is myrrh. And that's kind of an oil or a resin. So they brought these things. And these were very expensive gifts. And they brought them to give to Jesus when they came and found him. And so, but they weren't from Jesus' people. They were from a whole other country. They came from fairly far away. And they made a long journey just to find and to meet Jesus. We think they were from a place in the Middle East called Persia, which is kind of around, modern-day Iraq and Iran and some of those places. And they came. Why do you think they would come so far just to meet Jesus? I mean, Jesus was probably a little baby, maybe a year or two old. How old are you? You're two. So when they met Jesus, maybe he was about your age. Why do you think these would be good? Would you like to get gold, frankincense, and myrrh as a gift? Probably not, eh? No. Why do we think they gave these gifts to Jesus? They seem kind of like strange gifts. Yeah? Maybe Jesus might have preferred like a drum or, you know, some sort of toys to play with in the sand or something like that. What do you think these gifts mean when we give really, really expensive gifts? Why do you think they would do that? Yeah. Maybe because they thought maybe Jesus wouldn't have very much and this would be helpful. That's a good thought. Yeah. Why else do you think they would give such expensive, strange gifts to a little one, to baby Jesus? Well, one of the things that Matthew's gospel tells us is they thought Jesus would be a king. And so these are the kinds of gifts that a king might get. They would want gold, and they would want their palace to smell nice with frankincense, and they would want expensive oils and such to be a part of who they are. Because we look at kings and queens in the world. Have you seen the queen? She looks like she's probably got some pretty expensive stuff. Yeah. So that's one of the things we think. But also, we're learning more and more about the three wise men, and that they came because they believed that although they were from a different country and a different culture, that it was important to honor people who that they believed were special. Right? So how would you wouldn't have gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but how would you honor Jesus with something that you could have or you could do? What would you do to honor Jesus if you were in that caravan with those wise people? What would you give to Jesus? Are we all gifted out? Christmas presents are all put away at home. Nobody wants to talk about it. What do you think you might give to Jesus? No? What would you like to give to Jesus? No? Would you give him a stuffy? Would you give him a really nice stuffy? Maybe a woolen one made from sheep's wool. That would be kind of nice. Yeah? What other kinds of things? When we think about Jesus as a little person, what about Jesus now? What kinds of things can we give Jesus now? He's not here with us physically, but he's with us in spirit. So what would we give Jesus now? I heard love. Thank you. Love. What else could we give Jesus? Peace. Hope. There we go. Now we're on a roll. What other kinds of things could we give Jesus? Respect. Awesome. Respect for one another. Respect for Jesus. How about things like, kindness. Being helpful. Awesome. Now we're getting, help, being a helper, helping out with one another. Yeah. Being kind to one another. Excellent. So those are the kinds of things that are really, really, you can't buy, but they're really, really important. If someone helps you out, how do you feel? You feel good. And if someone's kind to you, how do you feel?
Fine.
You feel fine. And if someone is friendly to you, how do you feel?
Good.
Yeah. So if we can do those things and share those sorts of that sort of love in the world with Jesus, then I think we're giving gifts that are just as important or maybe even a little more than gold or frankincense and myrrh. And there isn't one of those gifts that we can't give to one another, right? Well, thank you very much for this time. There is Sunday school programming this morning, but first we're going to have a little prayer, and then we're going to sing, okay? So let's put our hands together, and we'll say a little bit. I'll say a little bit, and you can repeat after me. Dear God, even though I don't have gold,
even though I don't have gold
or frankincense or myrrh,
I have my heart,
my life,
and my love.
And I will share those things, in your world,
in your
name.
In your name.
Amen. Thank you very much. Now we're going to sing a wonderful favorite that's not in our hymn book. So it's We Three Kings. And this is a hymn. Do you know this song? We Three Kings of Orientar. Yeah, you know this one? Yeah? Okay, so we're going to sing We Three Kings. I thought that would be a great one to sing this morning. So let's stand and sing together. And after the song, there is programming.
Star of night.
you all. And there is Sunday school programming upstairs for you. Beautiful. Thank you. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. As we move into this time of meditation, O God, may your spirit move within our hearts and our minds and our spirits that all that is shared this day would reflect your light within us and your light through us in the world. In Christ, amen. So on this Sunday, as I was sharing with the children, we finally get to place those three wise ones, the wise men, the kings, the magi, in the creche scene. How many of you have creche scenes at home and they've been there since, like, the day one? Yeah. Terrible. Sorry, it's, you know, that biblical geek in me that says, you know, they don't come until Epiphany, right? They have been in there on so many of our Christmas scenes, Christmas cards, pictures, representations of the birth of the Christ child. But really, this is, as we know, a conflation of the two different Christmas stories that we find in the Bible in Luke. Luke is our favorite one. It's got the shepherds and the angels and that sort of thing, the journey to Bethlehem. And so we know that one much better. Matthew's gospel, a little bit different. We don't get that sort of imagery in Matthew's gospel, but it's the one with the wise men. And so we turn to that. And we take those two stories and we try and mesh them together a little bit and try and make them agree because we like our stories to make sense. But it's important for us to remember that there are two very different Christmas stories in our scriptures. And even though the two of them don't agree, there is a way in which we are called to find our way in to the stories as we find them in the scriptures. So we don't know much really about the Magi. They show up in this one little story Matthew chapter 2. They don't come on Christmas Eve because Matthew says, upon entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. So there's some time frame there. We don't know really how many of them there are. It never really says in our close reading of the Bible. It says there are three gifts or three types of gifts that they bring, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We've always just assumed that, you know, each one of them would bring one gift. And so one king for the gold, one for the frankincense, and one for the myrrh. But Matthew really doesn't particularly tell us very much about that. And we really don't know what magi are. Matthew's gospel doesn't tell us what they are. In some translation, the word is translated as king. Sometimes it's magician or priest. So who are the Magi? Where do they come from? And why are they included in Matthew's story? Well, according to Professor Corey Driver, in the Greek New Testament, the singular term for Magi is translated as magician. And this, as early as the 5th century before the Common Era, Greek writers used the word magi in sort of a pejorative term, a negative term. It was a group of people that they didn't particularly care for in society. They were people who did mysterious acts. They interpreted dreams for people. They deduced meaning from the stars and the ways in which the stars aligned. But Corey Driver says it's not really a generic term. It was really originally meant to talk about leaders of the cultic temples in the Zoroastrian religion, the religion of Persia in the Middle East. So Professor Drivet posits that they're likely Zoroastrian priests. Now, it seems quite strange that a group of religious people would come from so far away in order to bring these gifts to Jesus. However, when we look at our scriptures a little more deeply, we find there's a lot of connection between the Jewish people and the Persian people. In the book of Daniel, the Persian king Darius appoints Daniel to leadership in the Persian Empire. In the book of Ezra, Artaxerxes gives Ezra the priest gifts to fund a rebuilding of the worship place. In Nehemiah, Artaxerxes again directs that wood be supplied from the royal forests in order to reconstruct the Jewish temple. So among other examples of Jews and Judaism, there is an importance there within the two cultures. Jews and Judaism are well known in Persia because of the times in exile. So these Zoroastrian priests would have known about Jewish culture and Jewish religion. They would have known about their messianic hopes and have been familiar with their Zoroastrian neighbors. And so at least a few of these priests decide that they will travel to Bethlehem if they have been reading the stars and have seen some sort of conflation of stars in the sky. They pick themselves up and they go. And it seems like Matthew, kind of gives them a bit of a faith journey there. At some point, the star disappears on them for a little bit. And then it comes back and they are overjoyed. And they follow the star and find Mary and Joseph and Jesus in the house. Today, how might we interpret that act by the Magi? They crossed boundaries by making their trek. They crossed religious boundaries. They crossed political boundaries into the Roman Empire. They crossed ethnic boundaries to come and find and pay homage to this young Messiah. And this made me wonder this week, what if we today in our United Church, in Coal Harbor Woodside United Church, what if we could cross those religious boundaries, those political boundaries, those ethnic boundaries that seek to keep us apart, in order to follow Jesus' truth, that truth which states we should love God, love neighbor, and love self. Now, I don't mean to cross these boundaries in order to evangelize and convert, but rather that we could be confident enough in our faith to have a deep and meaningful conversation about how we intersect with other languages, other cultures, other religious backgrounds, other ethnic backgrounds. The Magi did not come to convert to Judaism, or even Christianity for that matter. They did not come to give up who they were and what they believed, but rather they came because they understood between the relationship between their culture and faith and how that faith had traditionally interacted with the Jewish faith, and how it had been in relationship with the Jewish tradition. And this understanding called upon them to find the child, to pay homage to the work of God in the world that would be done through this child. They did not risk who they were by this act, but rather they confirmed who they were in relationship with through their understanding of their neighbors, this Jewish God, through this child who would be the Jewish God's Jewish Messiah or messenger. So one of the first people that they encounter, we understand, when they cross into Jewish territory is Herod. Herod's the king. They expect Herod would know what's going on in his kingdom. And Herod's a little shocked. He doesn't know. He doesn't realize that a child is born. He doesn't realize that there is something special about this child. And so Herod, like all tyrants, becomes afraid. And because he's afraid, he makes all of Jerusalem afraid with him, Matthew tells us. And so he cooks up this story, this fake news, if you will, that would lead him to worship this Messiah. And rather than fall for it, the Magi go home via another route, without telling Herod at all that they have found the child. They risk their lives in order to come to meet Jesus. But rather than falling into the trap of what Herod had laid out, they found themselves protecting him from Herod and Herod's anger. Are we willing to do that? Are we able to do that? Are we secure enough in our understanding of God, in our reading of the scriptures, and in the living of our faith to stand in opposition to the fake news that is in our world today? To state that as followers of Jesus, we believe that all people are formed in the beautiful, diverse image of God? All colors, all orientations, all identifications, all ethnic backgrounds, all people. Are we able to do that? Do we know our relationship to the divine well enough to be able to take an unpopular position in the community that stands beside, behind, and before those whom society has pushed to the sidelines? The economically disadvantaged people, people of color, indigenous people, women, people with disabilities, refugees. Do we trust deeply enough in the love of God that will support us as we stand in the face of racism, right-wing ultranationalism, homophobia, xenophobia? Are we secure enough in our faith, as these Magi were, to stand in opposition? We are, I think. In my experience of Cole Harbour Woodside, we are strong enough. And we do these things because we feel God calls us to these places. But it's not easy. It's not popular. And it's not always safe. But we have faith. And faith is an attribute that bolsters our society along paths of justice and harmony and equity. However, when our society does not do those things, when it does not move along those paths, then we are, as people of faith, called upon, though not Jewish, to stand in the path of listening and in solidarity and ignoring the orders of kings, Herods, and the like. These Magi examined their faith and they understood their relationship of their faith with their Jewish friends and neighbors. And they knew enough to choose to return home via another route. That choice today might be seen as an act of civil disobedience. They were given an order by the king, and you don't disobey an order of the king. But how many positive motions in our society get made when all we do is always obey civil authority? It took one church to stand up and say, "We will ordain women." It took one community to say, "We will marry people of color and not color." It took one community to stand up and say, the sexual orientation of a person does not prohibit their being clergy in our church. It took one community to stand up against the laws of the land and say that love is love, that who cares if people love each other and care for one another, why can they not be married? We too are called upon to examine our faith. We too are sometimes called upon to go home via another route. We too are called upon to stand in the tradition of the child whom the Magi visited, who grew to be the one, the same Jesus, whom we follow, whom we claim, whom we see as God's messenger. When faith speaks to power, then we stand in the greatest of God's calls to love neighbor, to love self, in the love of God. May we always be learning and growing and believing and following. Amen. Thank you, Greg. Are there announcements that need to be shared this morning?
Saturday, February 9th, at 6 p.m., we're going to be hosting a fundraiser. It's a Guess Who's Coming to Dinner event. And if you're not familiar with that event, it's where we open up our homes to host a meal for guests who we don't know are arriving in advance. The guests themselves will know the day of the event where they're going. We have already lined up some hosts, and now we're seeking guests to share a three-course meal with them. The tickets are $30 a person. We want to make it open to everyone, so families with young children, 12 and under, will be free to attend the event as well. I'll be selling tickets after church today and every Sunday until the event. So if you're interested, please come and see me. Thank you.
I've got one here, Mike. Jennifer changed the the announcements on me Friday. I do up the PowerPoint on Thursday night, but she changed this and added something, so... In a continued effort to be mindful of the environment and costs, there is a sign-up sheet in the narthex to receive a printed copy of the 2018 annual report. The annual reports will be automatically emailed, when ready, to those that are on the email list. But if you sign up so that we can get a number so that we can print them, because we're printing them in-house and... try to save some money on printing and paper costs. So your sign-up sheet if you want a paper copy in the narthex.
This week, Bible study begins again on Tuesday morning for all who are interested. Men's lunch Wednesday at Fong's, and we are going to Parkland on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock for worship. And as always, all are invited to join us for that. Joanne has our moment for affirming this morning.
Good morning. The following minute for affirming is one in a series of stories about individuals, churches, which have struggled with but embrace the spirit and action of becoming an affirming society. So I have two experts here. The story made me remember what my father said about ministers, who were gay, even before 1998, and in a ministry with a congregation who did not know they were gay. The congregation was happy with their minister for years. However, once the minister was open and honest about being gay, the congregation became very upset. My father would ask the question, why did sexuality make that big of a difference? If the person had the gifts and skills for ministry before declaring being gay, what changed after the minister came out? Had the minister lost all of their skills and gifts overnight? What difference does sexuality make to abilities? At first, I was very proud of my church. I was amazed how cool we were. Then I went to worship in my local congregation, and the minister preached hatred from the pulpit. I was in my late teens, struggling to remain in the church and find relevance for my own life. His words did not help, and in fact, I refused to be involved for a number of years. I felt disappointed by the individual responses of ministry folks and lay people. And when congregations and ministers were allowed to choose to discriminate because of their own consciousness, I did eventually return to the United Church. I was ordained 17 years ago, as of 2018, and have worked hard to be the presence of love and to celebrate diversity in a way that my minister in 1998 never did. I have been involved in the affirming process of three ministries, an education center, a congregation, and a conference. I was a member of the National Council of Church Gender Justice Committee document, moving toward full inclusion. I have worked to continue to stretch my own understanding, to speak out in worship and preaching and daily life, and to boldly stand up as best as I can for love. I do hope that the United Church can make better choices as a whole in supporting the great rainbow of diversity and beauty that the Creator has given. Please reflect upon this story and its message. We are on the road to hopefully becoming an affirming church. As a congregation, this is your decision. The affirming team feels these stories reflect struggles, but also reflect positive responses and changes, which can continue here at Cole Harbor Woodside, leading to our identity as an affirming church. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. As we continue to move in worship, let us present our gifts and our offerings. That way. Let us pray. The offerings we bring this day, O God, represent the love of our hearts and the work of our hands. May these offerings in these plates, those offered through par, those that are offered through the work of our hands in this community of faith and in our world, may they be blessed and understood to be your movement in our world. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. Thank you. As our prayers of the people this morning, I'm going to invite you to turn in your bulletins to the insert for the renewal of our commitment. John Wesley was one of the great reformers of the 17th and 18th centuries, and Methodism in the world is greatly attributed to him and to his work. And the ways in which the church moved outside of its buildings into the community in so many ways. So one of the things that John Wesley had his congregations do each year on the first Sunday of the year was to participate in a renewal of a pledge as we are followers of Jesus, a renewal of our commitment as a church. And most of us make New Year's resolutions to, you know, eat healthy and to go to the gym and to, you know, read more and sleep better and all those sorts of things. This is our church's opportunity to do that. So I invite you to stand as you feel so able and participate in this litany with me. Following a star. Your response is in the bold, sorry. Following a star, following God's love.
Following a call, a nudge, a quest for our lives.
Help us, O God, in the decisions we make every day.
In the values that we decide to embrace, that we will reflect your love, inclusion, and acceptance for all people in our lives and in our world.
In the presence of the new year,
and in remembrance of Jesus' baptism and of our own, I pledge to follow the teaching of Jesus in my life.
I pledge to not only read, but wrestle with the meanings of the stories in the Bible.
And try to live them out each day in my conversations with my family, the people I meet at work, the stranger ahead of me in the checkout line at the grocery store, and in the quiet conversations I have with myself each day.
I realize that I cannot do this on my own.
That I am dependent on God's love in my life, and it is only by embracing God's love for me that I am able to love the other whom I meet in my day-to-day.
Help me also to learn what it means to be a prophet.
God's advocate for right relations, worker for full inclusion, speaker of truth to power among all those with whom I share this world.
The birds of the air and the fish of the seas,
the green grass, the animals, and the soil from which all life came.
All the peoples of the earth,
those close to me at home,
and those far away. We offer these words of renewal as we pray together Jesus' words,
our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trouble, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And our closing hymn this morning, As with Gladness. Each one of us carries gifts, not gold, not frankincense, not myrrh, but the light and the love of Christ which dwells within each one of us. Those gifts are ours to share with the world, not keep to ourselves. And so we must go from here to there and be God's light.